I'd like this evening to turn to the book of John, chapter 11, book of John, chapter 11. I'd like to read verse 1, verse 3, and verse 5. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. We see these verses contain a statement of Christ's love for Mary, for Martha, and for Lazarus. I believe each of these individuals knew that Jesus Christ loved them. And that, of course, is a wonderful thing to know. Christ's love is a unique love. There's nothing that you can compare it to. It is unique. It is beyond human description. It is absolutely immeasurable. You cannot begin to measure the love of Christ. So immeasurable that the Bible teaches that it is eternal. That is, it is everlasting. It is without beginning, which is something you and I cannot fully comprehend. It is without beginning, and it is without end. It is immutable. That is, it is unchanging. It's unchanging in its degree. It's unchanging in its fervency. It never grows cold. It never wanes. It's unconditional. It's an unconditional and uninfluenced love. That is, there is absolutely nothing, no cause for this love outside of God Himself. He is the cause of this love. There's nothing in us, there will never be anything in us that would cause Christ to love us. So it's an uninfluenced love. It's unconditional. It is a love that's infinite. It goes beyond everything that stands in the way. It goes beyond our sin. It goes beyond our guilt. It goes beyond all barriers. And if you think about it, there is no love. There is no love that has more barriers than the Lord's love for us. There's no love that has more obstacles than the Lord's love for us. But yet, the Lord's love is infinite. It goes beyond all obstacles, goes beyond all barriers. It is a love that cannot be extinguished. It is a love that cannot be drowned. Many waters cannot quench it. It is a love that is generous. No love has done more than the love of the Lord. No love has sacrificed more than the love of the Lord. And it is a love that is absolutely amazing. And we see how amazing it is when we consider the person of Christ and when we consider how undeserving we are. The love of the Lord is a wonder of wonders. It's absolutely incredible. It's absolutely amazing. It is a, there is, when you consider the freeness of the love, again, it's amazing. When you consider the degree of love that the Lord has granted us, again, it's amazing. And we want to tonight center our thoughts around what is said in verse 5. And that is, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. I like that first word, now. Right now, what was going on in this chapter, Jesus loved Martha, he loved Mary, and he loved Lazarus. We want to just take some encouragement from Christ's love for us and apply it to to our lives, every aspect of our lives, that we would draw from the fountain of his love. In Song of Solomon 2 and verse 4, the Shulamite woman said, "His banner over me was love." And that is something that we ought to be able to feel. We ought to be able to feel that. The banner of Christ's love over us at all times. We want to consider 12 things tonight. And again, each of these we want to center around verse 5. Jesus loved Martha. Jesus loved Mary. Jesus loved Lazarus. We see, first of all, that Christ's love does not prevent those whom he loves from being sick. We see in verse 1, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus." Verse 3, "He whom thou lovest is sick." So the Lord's love does not prevent you and I from becoming sick. God's people can expect sickness. God's people can expect affliction. God in his love does not prevent disease from entering the body. And God in his love did not prevent this sickness, which would prove to be a sickness unto death. He did not prevent this sickness from entering into the body of Lazarus. Could he have prevented it? Of course he could have, but he didn't. He did not prevent this sickness. Did the sickness of Lazarus call into question the love of Christ? No, not at all. And our sickness, when you and I get sick, when disease fills these bodies, that should not call into question the love of Christ. This sickness did not change the fact that God loved Lazarus. So if we become sick, and if we become diseased, we need to remember, Christ loves me, and his banner over me is love. Secondly, Christ's love does not prevent our loved ones from being sick. We see that Martha and Mary, I believe, both love the Lord. Both were serving the Lord. And they, no doubt, both loved their brother Lazarus. The Lord loved Lazarus. The Lord loved Martha. The Lord loved Mary. But his love did not prevent him from allowing sickness to enter the body of Lazarus and eventually death. His love did not prevent him from allowing Martha and Mary to suffer grief and to suffer sorrow as they watched their brother suffer, as they watched their brother die. When Martha came to Jesus in verse 21, she said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. We see Mary said the same thing in verse 32. And those two words, "my brother," reveal some of the personal pain of Martha and Mary. Martha and Mary watched their brother suffer. Martha and Mary watched their brother die. But that did not lessen the love of Jesus Christ. Sickness and disease, of course, are all around us. It's been so since the fall. But many times we don't realize it. We don't realize how much sickness is out there until it comes into our own lives, until it comes into our own families and our own loved ones. But if you live long enough, you will experience some sickness in your lifetime. And you may become so sick that you die. And if you live long enough, you will see your loved ones become sick. And you will see some of them suffer. And you will see some of them die. That doesn't change the love of Christ. Through it all, we must remember His amazing love for our soul. Through it all, we must feel His love for our soul. Thirdly, Christ's love does not prevent hardships. We see, again, those words of Martha and Mary, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Those words reveal some of the feelings of Martha and Mary. It reveals some of the things that they experienced as they tended to their brother, as they saw him take his last breath, and as they buried him. In those words, we see sorrow. "If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." So it was a time of sorrow. It was a time of sorrow for Martha. It was a time of sorrow for Mary. But through it all, through all the sorrow, there was the Lord's love. It was a time of loneliness. "If thou hadst been here, if thou hadst been here." When their brother Lazarus was sick and dying, Jesus was not there in bodily presence. And that confused Martha and Mary. Martha and Mary, remember at the beginning of the chapter there in our text, they sent word concerning the sickness of their brother in verse 3. No doubt they expected Jesus to come. But instead of coming, Jesus remained where he was for 2 days, we read in verse 6. Martha and Mary looked for him. There's no doubt in my mind, as Martha and Mary tended to Lazarus, as they ministered to Lazarus, they were looking for Jesus. They were expecting him to come. But he wasn't there. And they watched their brother die. And they even buried him. And Jesus still had not come. No doubt there was a sense of loneliness. But none of that changes the Lord's love. Through all the loneliness was the Lord's love. It had been a time of disappointment. "If thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died." When Mary and Martha sent word to Christ, they just knew he would come. There wasn't any doubt in their mind that he would come. And he did. In his own time. He didn't come in their time. And he wasn't late. He came right on time. But you see the disappointment in those words. "If thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died." And oh, how disappointed they must have been. When Lazarus took his last breath, and then they carried the body of their brother to the grave, and then they walked away from that grave, leaving behind the body of their loved one. But that doesn't change the fact that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And in time of disappointment, remember, you're saved, remember his great love for your soul. It was also a time of confusion. It was a time of bewilderment. They didn't understand. Again, we see that in those words, "If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Jesus knew. Jesus knew why he delayed his coming. Jesus knew why he wasn't there, and that's explained. But Mary and Martha didn't know. They didn't know why Jesus wasn't there. They didn't know why when Jesus wasn't there, when Lazarus took his last breath. Why did Jesus allow this to happen? They didn't know. Again, Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29 tells us the secret things belong to the Lord. And we need to just trust that. And we need to believe that, believing that Jesus, because every one of us that are saved can put our names, our own names in that verse. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. What Jesus said in John 13:7 is still true today, and that is, what I do, thou knowest not now. That's very true. There's a lot of things that you and I don't know. There's a lot of things that you and I cannot explain. And Mary and Martha did not understand why Jesus was not there. But we can know this. In those times, we can know His love. I also see great helplessness in those words. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. It's as if they said, Lord, we could not keep him from dying. There wasn't anything we could do. But if you would have been here, he would not have died. There's a sense of helplessness in those words. And you watch. Perhaps you've already experienced it. But you gather around the bed of a dying loved one, and there's a sense of helplessness. There's nothing you really can do. There's nothing you can do to prevent that individual from going out into eternity. But you can live in the reality of Christ's love. Know how helpless Mary and Martha must have felt as they watched their brother die. But none of that changes what we read in verse 5. Fourthly, a sense of Christ's love led Martha and Mary to seek Christ. Again, verse 3, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. They knew that Jesus loved Lazarus. They knew that Jesus loved them. And that stirred them to go to him and spread their need before him. And what a blessing to be so assured of Christ's love that you feel free to cast your burden upon the Lord. And that's what they did. Fifthly, Christ in his love does everything for our sake, whether we understand it or not. Everything he does is for our sake. Notice verse 4. When Jesus heard that is, that Lazarus was sick, he already knew, of course. He said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Again, though you and I do not know the why, the one who loves us does. And through it all, the Lord acts for our well-being. Notice verse 14 and verse 15. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad. Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes. For your sakes. That I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. He said, the reason I wasn't there is because I'm going to do something that is going to cause you to believe me even more. I'm going to do something that is going to help you. I am going to do something that is going to help you spiritually. And I believe everything the Lord does, he does for our well-being. That's what Romans 8:28 teaches. The Lord does not send sickness and affliction to destroy his children. He does not send affliction and sickness. He sends it to help us, not to destroy us. He sends it into the bodies of our loved ones and even takes our lives, not to destroy us, but to help us. He sends that sickness and affliction into our loved ones, not just to cause us grief, not just to cause us sorrow. No doubt it causes us grief and it causes us sorrow. But that's not why the Lord did what he did. He didn't cause the sickness to come or allow the sickness to come into the body of Lazarus just to cause grief and sorrow in the life of Martha and Mary. He did it to help them. And that's what he does with us. And that's what it means to live in the realization of Christ's love. We realize that because he loves me, everything he does to help me. He does these things to draw us closer to him. Again, he may send sickness and affliction upon our loved ones to help others believe. Again, Jesus is talking to the apostles here in verse 15, to the intent that ye may believe. The apostles. Yet it was Lazarus that was sick. It wasn't one of the apostles. But this would cause the apostles to believe. And Jesus may allow sickness to come into the life of a loved one. He may even allow death to come to a life of a loved one just so someone else would be drawn closer to the Lord. You see, you and I don't get the big picture. We just see what's in front of us. But we must have enough faith to realize we don't see the whole picture. But the Lord loves us and he wouldn't do anything to destroy us. And he's not just up there to cause us grief, affliction. Sixthly, Christ knew the condition of Lazarus, and he knew what he would do. In verse 11, these things said he, and after that saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But I go that I may wake him out of sleep. And then verse 14 again, then because they didn't understand what he meant by Lazarus sleeping, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. Now, the entire time Lazarus was sick, even before the messengers of Martha and Mary came to Jesus there in verse 3. Jesus knew everything that Lazarus was going through. He knew everything that Martha was going through. He knew everything that Mary was going through. And he loved them. He knew what they were going through, and we need to view that in this unchanging fact. The Lord loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. That is the one thing we must not forget. If you and I are saved, we're children of God, the Lord loves us. And though we may not know what he's going to do, and though we may think we know what he's going to do, they thought that Jesus would come and Jesus would heal their brother, but that's not what he did. And many times we think we know what the Lord will do, but he doesn't always do what we think. During that time, just remember, he's known from the beginning. He's known from before that he's always known what he would do. He knew the outcome of this sickness, and he knew what he was going to do. He not only knew what they were going through, he knew what he would do out of love for them. We see also that Christ's love gave them hope. In verse 22, as Martha is speaking with Jesus, she says, after she said, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, even though he's dead, I know that whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it. There was hope. She had hope. And as long as the Lord loves us, and if he ever did love you, he still does, because his love is immutable. That gives us hope. As God's people, we always have hope, because the Lord loves us. I mean, what could be so bad? The Lord loves me. No matter what happens, The Lord loves me. When Martha and Mary sent message to Christ concerning the sickness of Lazarus, Christ again did not immediately respond. But there was still hope, for they knew. Even though they didn't understand why Jesus didn't come, within them they knew, He loves me. And again, there are many things that you and I do not understand. But within our soul, we ought to know, the Lord loves me. The Lord loves me. You see, Christ, when they sent the messengers to Jesus, Christ could have said, Martha, Mary, I know Lazarus is sick, and he's going to die. And you're going to bury him. But I'll come, and I will raise him from the grave. But the Lord didn't tell him that, though he knew that's what he would do. He did not tell them. Why? Why didn't he tell them that? Because he loved them too much. Because he loved them. Because if he would have told them that, they would have quit seeking him. They wouldn't have sought him. They wouldn't have sought his help. The Lord doesn't tell us everything, because if he did, you and I would not seek his help. So he doesn't tell us everything because he loves us. Because he loves us. And people say, oh, if I only knew how it was going to turn out. You don't need to know. All you need to know is, he loves me. He loves me. And that's what you need to believe. He loves me. Eighthly, we see Christ's love gives comfort. We see in verse 19 that many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And I'm sure that they, to some degree, were of comfort to them. But there is a comfort in Christ that you will not find anywhere else. I don't care how many friends you have. I don't care how many relatives you have. I don't care how many loved ones you have. There is a comfort that you will not find anywhere else. And that's a comfort in Jesus Christ. After Martha came to Jesus and spoke to him, and he spoke to her, she was encouraged. And she believed. She was greatly comforted. Notice verse 27. She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ. I believe her faith was strengthened. She's gone from, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died, to, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which would come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way. And she now had comfort. She now had encouragement. And Christ, out of love, comforts his people with the comfort that only he can give. We see also that Christ, in his love, draws his people closer to himself. Verse 28, when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth thee. Jesus called Mary because he loved her. He waited there for her because he loved her. He called her to bless her. And the Lord calls us today, his children. He calls us every day. He calls us to draw near unto him. And he does so to bless us. He does so to bring joy into our lives. Even in times of sorrow, the Master calleth. He's waiting for you. Not to destroy you, but to help you. To bring joy into your life. To bring encouragement into your life. He didn't call Mary to hurt her. He didn't call Mary to harm her. He didn't call her to make her life more difficult. He called her to bless her. Why? Because he loved her. He called her to strengthen her. He called her to enable her to serve him better. The Lord isn't out to ruin your life. He's out to make it better. Come unto him. He calls. He says, leave where you are and come unto me. Oh, the Lord just doesn't want me to have any fun. He doesn't want me to have any enjoyment. He wants you to have a joy that is past understanding and a peace. All because of his great love. We see also that his love is very compassionate. In verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping. Compare that to verse 3. Jesus loved Lazarus, Martha, her sister. Jesus loved Mary, and he saw her weeping. The Lord loved her. He saw her weeping. And the Jews also weeping, which came with her. He groaned in the spirit. That is, there was an inward commotion within his own soul. Because the one whom he loved was weeping. And then we read in verse 35. Jesus wept. He felt their pain. He felt their sorrow. He felt their suffering. You know, you hear preachers all the time saying, Jesus experienced sorrow and pain and suffering, and because of that, he knows. That's an erroneous statement. Even if the Lord did not ever experience your pain, your suffering, he still knows. Because he's God. The blessing here is not so much that he knows, but the blessing here is he feels the pain. He feels Mary's sorrow. He feels her suffering. Out of love, he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He doesn't prevent them. But he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And we know the rest of the story. Jesus would come and raise Lazarus from the dead. And then we see Christ out of love fellowships with those whom he loves. We see that in John 12, verses 1 through 3. Because the Lord loves us, he fellowships with us. That is an amazing thing. That God would fellowship, that God would have communion with you and I. That's an amazing thing. But it all goes back to his love. And then lastly, a realization of Christ's love leads to service. And we looked at this verse this morning in verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. Wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Mary realized that day more than she did before. Not that she wasn't aware of it before, but she was more aware of it now. She realized the Lord loves me. The Lord loves Martha. And the Lord loves my brother Lazarus. And again, she broke open that box, fell at his feet, and worshiped the Lord. And the more we realize, the more aware we are that he loves me, the more I want to worship him. And the more willing I will be to give unto him. Do you have a realization of Christ's love? Can you feel the love of Christ? It may be a time of sorrow. It may be a time of heartache. It may be a time of pain and suffering, just as Martha and Mary were experiencing. But when you can feel the love of Christ, when you can know he loves me, that fills you with a desire to worship Him. It fills you with a desire to please Him. You see, the love of Christ has a motivating and influencing power upon us. John, throughout the Gospel of John, referred to the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he's referring to himself. In other words, John lived in the awareness, he loves me. He loves me. And he didn't even refer to himself by name. He just said, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And all the joy that thought gave him. And that serves as a motivating power. If you know that Christ loves you, how can that not motivate you? How can that not influence you? The love of Christ has a seizing power. It takes hold of us. It won't let us go. It has a pressing power. It presses upon us. It has a constraining power. It has a restricting power. It has, again, a restraining power. The love of Christ. Just knowing that He loves me should keep me from doing things that I know is going to displease Him. How can I displease the One who loves me so much? The love of Christ is a working force in the life of a child of God. Living in the awareness of the love of Christ will fill your life with passion, will fill your life with excitement, and it'll cause you to love Him more. We love Him because He first loved us. The more you realize His love, the more you love Him. Today, people use the love of Christ as a license to sin, has a license to live their life as they please. But they really don't realize the love of Christ. If you know somebody loves you, why would you go out of your way to deliberately hurt them and offend them? We know He loves us. Why? Why would we do that which we know is offensive to the One who loves us? There is a power in just knowing He loves me. The love of Christ, knowing that Christ loves you, will give your life purpose. It'll give your life direction. It'll have a dramatic effect upon every aspect of your life. He loves me. He loves me. And I believe this realization just overcame Mary. And she broke open that box and anointed Jesus Christ. Knowing that He loves us causes us to recognize Him as the preeminent One. It'll fill us with a desire to glorify Him and to obey Him. And to have fellowship with Him. And to draw near to Him. What a wonderful life. What a wonderful life it is to be always aware. Jesus Christ loves me. When I sin, and when you sin, that's why you ought to repent immediately. He loves me. How can I do this and displease my Master? He loves me. How can I hold on to this sin? How can I hold on to that which is offensive to the One who loves me? He loves me. What a wonderful life to live in the awareness of Christ's love. To live conscious of His great love. To live in the enjoyment of this fact that Christ loves. loves me. Again, John 11, in verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Nothing changed that love. But the more they realized that Christ loved them, the more it changed their life. And when you come to the realization, Jesus loves me, that'll do away with this attitude, it's my life, and I can live it as I please. He loves me. Because He loves me, I want to please Him. I mean, how self-involved can a person be? To know that the Lord loves you and deliberately go out and do that which is offensive to the Lord. How self-involved. He loves me. We need to remember that at all times. We've all experienced things in our life that we do not fully understand, and usually what happens when we don't get a grasp of why something is happening, people get depressed. They get down in the dumps. But you see, you're focusing on the wrong thing. You're focusing on, why didn't He tell me why? I need to know why. If you needed to know why, the Lord would have told you why. You're focusing on the wrong thing. What you need to focus upon, He loves me. He loves me. And out of love, He finds it best not to tell me. Not to tell me why such and such is happening. The truth is, even when you and I think we know why, we really don't. We don't know the full. None of us do. And I don't know that we'll ever will. And I don't know that, and I don't believe it matters. When we went to glory, as we said many, many times, people say, oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask them why. When you get to heaven, you won't care. It won't matter. It won't matter one iota. So I'm not so sure we'll ever know why. But I do believe we'll get a glimpse of the big picture. And oh, as you get a glimpse of the big picture and you see how things work together and how the Lord allows things in your life to have an effect on people that you do not even know, all because of His love. All because of His love. So focus on the right thing. Focus on this fact, the Lord loves me. No matter what's going on, the Lord loves me. Focus upon that. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song. Let's all